Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, Killers of the Flower Moon, a 2023 film directed by Martin Scorsese.
Should we mention this is unplanned?
So we should upload this earlier. We aimed this for next week.
We should start subscriptions.
Charge them $100 each.
Okay, well, fine. Yeah, let's charge you.
Let's charge them. No. Anyways,
who is listening to this? Thank you
for your patronage.
But this
is nobody's pick because we all wanted to go see this.
Yeah,
and this has been a long time coming.
It will count as Arvin's pick because he picked something weird.
I think After Sun. It was an indie favorite last year, and we'll get to it someday.
Sounds like a nightmare. After Sun.
Yeah. It's about a dad taking his daughter out for a vacation.
Oh my god. Like the lotion.
So bad. 96 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Well, Reptile got 44, and that was pretty decent. So I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, you don't trust the tomatoes anymore. Anyways, I don't know what this has on tomatoes. Probably 97, 96, I'm assuming.
Maybe it's pretty woke. So
it's a pretty, it's a pretty woke movie.
What is the kind of whatever?
Did it make more race?
No, because I thought Reptile was as good as Fair Play.
Yeah,
they're both like equally not great, and it got like way higher rating. So I was like, oh, I guess it's a Me Too story.
It's Me Too story, so and yeah, this is very socially conscious.
Rotten Tomatoes 92%. Killers of the Flower Moon.
What do we think? That's what our audience is here for.
It was long.
Yeah, it was
okay,
long.
Can't.
Critics consensus. All the Indian stuff was good, but the white people, blech.
Wait, is that actually a blur?
No, of course not. Enormous in runtime, theme, and achievement, Killers of the Flower Moon is a sobering appraisal of America's relationship with indigenous peoples and yet another artistic zenith for Martin Scorsese and his collaborators.
Wow, everyone gives Scorsese. Well, I like this quite a bit, even more than The Irishman.
I'm glad that he
didn't end his career with The Irishman, and I think this is...
No, I don't think...
No, he's definitely not done with... He said he's got a couple more in him, but...
I think this is one of those like Robert Altman cases where he's like, he's gonna die like halfway through a production. Or something.
Yeah.
And he's gonna do this till he dies.
Honestly, I'm glad. I want that. I don't care.
I don't think he would have it any other way. Like than to work.
Well, I
do kind this of
thought because he shows up at the end, it was like he's bowing out.
I was so strangely touching. I thought. He never speaks directly, addresses the camera as
the Irishman. 95%
more. Oh, okay. De Niro is way better here. For one, he's not distracting.
He looks so different.
Yes, and he's It's also a very, very different character.
He looks younger than he used to, but at the same time older.
His energy, though, this is like the most high energy De Niro performance I've seen from him in a very, very, very long time.
You haven't seen the Sebastian Maniscalco.
No, which one is that?
It's like Sorry About My Dad or something equally as dumb.
Yeah?
It's a movie where he's like, I'm Italian-American and this is my dad.
Oh,
it's like,
oh.
You know that?
No, no.
It's like a dumb comedy.
When did that come out?
I think last year.
Last?
I haven't seen it, but my brother saw it.
Oh. He's very, very good. He literally plays the devil. He spends the entire movie claiming that he loves these people. And it's also like an examination of how these disgusting people come up with their own twisted justifications for what they're trying to do.
It's more about like sort of how they justify it. Because you could tell he really loves his wife.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
He loves his wife and she loves him too. And that's their love is real. That relationship is...
That's what I found confusing isn't the right word. But it's like, I don't know, like why are they not as like... overtly racist to these native people compared to like
because they have the power
black
or money
people.
They have money
and they
yeah.
have the land
yeah
I guess.
Yeah because
as soon as if that's taken away I'm sure they'll treat them like garbage
yeah
would be like,
and they still treat like the that dinner table
still,
sequence
yeah.
when they just call
yeah.
them savages the
yeah.
entire time
mm-hmm.
And I think a big part of the story is like I guess the wife Molly where was the actress
yeah.
Lily Gladstone. her acceptance, like her, she has to suffer through it all in complete silence, and the entire and every atrocity. You can see that she's aware of every atrocity mm-hmm. that's being committed against him. There is nothing that she can do about it. I think she's long suspected that her husband is part of it. There's no way, she's a smart woman. There's no way she doesn't doesn't know.
Do you think if he had told her the truth of what he was giving her, she would have forgiven him? Because I felt like that was kind of...
I think that was like her last plea.
I think he was giving her heroin.
Oh, the drug.
To slow her down. Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like
money from dead sisters.
No.
Because I think at one point the doctor's like, give me some heroin or something when she's being, like, when she's recovering. So I think they were giving her heroin when she was going through withdrawals afterwards.
I see.
Isn't heroin like a stimulant?
No, it's.
It's
a downer.
But she would be feeling good, I think. She looked like she. I don't know.
But that, yeah, it's just so sad that she's basically become a prisoner in her own house by the end of the movie. I think she was never going to take him back. Mm. Not after going through the trial and listening to him I helped him murder your sister, your entire family, both of your sisters.
Yeah, that is true.
Was it three of them?
Well, the third one is done by the first, like the husband who got blown up. That's what's implied, that he poisoned her.
Oh.
Yeah. So like, her entire family wiped out by these guys. Terrible. But then there's like De Niro's character who, like his warped justification, like, yeah, I love these people, but their time is over. Like he senses, like, he's like, no, we did them in. They're gone. They're and why not just accelerate this process and give them he has like that wonderful scene when it's revealed that he's a stonemason. That seemingly brings DiCaprio in.
Yeah,
and he
I didn't
plans,
get the
that was,
significance of that.
Not to say that the stonemasons are necessarily all terrible people, but like I think that's his idea of like he belongs. He's like he, I have by being a stonemason, he sees himself as above society, above the common man, in a very special league for very specific people who may have convinced themselves that they deserve the right to change society, to warp society to their. Accelerating genocide is probably one of them, and that's what's like, do you know the responsibility that I have? Like that was the point of it. That was an interesting detail. I really like that. And the way the movie opens with it feels like silent film news footage, and it seamlessly the frame expands and the color bleeds in and takes you into the story. I loved it. Beautiful. So what are you looking at on your phone?
I'm reading the...
You're reading
you know, he got, like, paid $30 million to be involved in this movie.
It's Scorsese?
DiCaprio.
Oh.
And of course he did.
He's a producer, too.
$30 million.
Yeah, that's why he does, like, one film every 2 years.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't need to,
How much is Netflix paying for Don't Look Up?
I don't know.
Probably more.
I'll look it up later. But, but this is crazy because... The film, the budget reached $200 million. So Paramount was like, okay, you gotta get someone else. So Scorsese reached out to Netflix and Apple TV Plus. And Apple TV Plus accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cast everyone else. But he went to the Osage County Nation to talk to the principal chief to discuss how they could be involved in the film's production. And... yeah, that kind of shows in the movie, right? It's like very respectful of their...
Although at the premiere, they were asking one of the consultants.
Yeah.
And I think he provided a very level-headed criticism in that he appreciates the way they were portrayed in them, but at the same time, this isn't an Osage story. Mm-hmm. It's that it's a little bit too simple, maybe like trying to potentially justify or get into the head of the white characters. And not necessarily, and I can kind of see that in the way that, yes, there are people throughout the 99% of the runtime of this movie, they are portrayed as victims, primarily victimized.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the point, but that's just, but that is
that,
what
that's
happened
the story
to them.
Being told also.
And that's what the ending is trying to, trying to explain.
Yeah.
What Scorsese's last word to the audience in her obituary, there was no mention about these murders. These people are beyond and above what we like to contextualize them in within the framework of this story. She lived a life beyond all of this. These which I really appreciated. And then it ends with them in modern day, like this, they persisted. They weren't like...
Was this a real person?
Yeah.
Yes, this is based on a true story. At least Robert De Niro's character.
They never mention that. Usually they mention like based on a true
story. Well, that's what they were saying. That's why he was reading like the stuff at the end. That was like...
But that doesn't mean that.
No, I think...
I mean, I'm sure that was, if they are real, that's
yeah.
the fact.
No, but it's based on a real...
Yeah, it's based on the real events. They really did this to you.
Well, yeah, that's not surprising.
That's not surprising. Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah, that's why. And then Jack White shows up.
Yeah.
I love how they showed you the little point to cut to all the little folly sound effects that they were doing in the little radio show.
So many.
There's so many. I think it's also highlighting that this is a bigger picture. It's like filmmaking itself. Like so many of the little pieces that comes together to create this story for you, but that's not the whole story. It's just, yeah. And it's important that we acknowledge that this is not the whole story. These people aren't just victims, and we can't just view them as such. And yeah, I thought that was pretty powerful. It's still very long. Do you think they could have cut any of that stuff down?
I think so, definitely.
What would they cut out?
There's a lot of like, oh, and he was also murdered. Let's show you every detail of the murder.
How it leads up.
Yeah.
And
which is, I mean, by the fifth murder, you're like, okay, I get it. They're bad and they're killing them now. Let's like get the consequences. But, okay, so the filmed in Oklahoma Act of 2021 allocated $30 million to film subsidies and bills to increase the total available subsidies to $80 million in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So they got like I guess $80 million.
Well, they probably didn't film it this year.
Oh yeah. 2021 though. I don't know why this is on the Wikipedia.
I need to point that out. Follow the paper trail for these people.
But yeah, I think it could have been trimmed down a bit. There's a lot of like, it's beautiful. It looks
gorgeous.
Every shot is amazing, but you know, at the same time.
It's fun. It's great to see Scorsese film the American, like not it wasn't the West, like or just the South, like just the vast expanseness of America. It's beautiful. I loved every single shot, like in this.
Okay, an Orvin shit on the soundtrack, despite it being Robbie Robertson's last before he died in August of 1993.
I didn't shit on the soundtrack.
The film is dedicated to his memory. And he himself of First Nations ancestry. Score. Norman said it sounded bad and terrible, and whoever did it deserved to have died. So,
that's not what I said. I said it sounded. It reminded me too much of the Irishman.
I'm sorry to break it to you, listener, but Norman is a monster.
I'm sorry. I just thought it sounded a little too similar to the. But there's a very clear halfway point when the FBI shows up and it becomes a much more traditional Scorsese type of movie. And the energy
it's
of the
like,
movie
Give Me Shelter
started. Honestly, I was half expecting Give Me Shelter to start out. When they're all walking to arrest everybody, I was like, this is the perfect point, Marty.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that was perfect.
Like, Goodfellas.
And
that's
De Niro's
true.
Character becomes a lot more like his character in Goodfellas towards the end when he starts
when he
basically
like,
murdering
yeah,
everybody
yeah.
off. And he does. It's cool that they do it in a way that's not like the mob. They just set them up to do a stupid crime, and then they get shot based on the fact that everybody has guns back in the day. Yeah, you should just carry these guns everywhere. It looks so sick. Like they can just carry them into court. It's amazing.
You heard it here, Arvin. Pro gun.
It's Winchesters. They look
this
nice.
This podcast is sponsored by the NRA.
Where's the money?
Oh, yeah.
We need to lobby them more. All right. Do we have anything else to add?
Is this long enough so we can like, you know, because this movie deserves a long discussion.
It does. It, I mean, Michelle, do you have anything to add?
I'll say some stuff. What did you think of the? With the violence.
It sounds like you guys haven't seen the movie.
What did you think of
the
Native Americans?
The violence. Native American. One thing I like to point out is the language that's been used. And it's like, and when they use subtitles and when they don't, because Scorsese trusts the audience to understand, like through context, what they're arguing about. And at one point, when they it's revealed that one of the FBI guys is Native Indian, and you see him in the background start popping up like towards the halfway point of the movie when they starts like not really infiltrating, but And when he goes to them, when they find his wife and she starts muttering in like, where's my husband, in her language, he doesn't respond. And I love that. I think any other director would have gone like, oh, he knows the language too, but because he's from outside, he's a different tribe, he wouldn't know what she's saying because it's a different language. And I just caught on to that little detail and I was like, that's great. Like, they could have easily like conflated all the like identities together, but they didn't. Yeah. All right.
Kind of like Phantom Thread. That's my only last
name. Oh yes, the poisoning stuff. Yeah. And it's like, I love, but he clearly loves her.
Yeah, like they love each other, but it's difficult.
But it is very, very difficult. I need to add one more thing. There's an amazing speech one of the characters gives about mixed children, how it's like an eclipse, and oh, it was so evil, but it sounded so cool. I loved it. Anyways, let's take a break. And we're back! Let's step right up. 7 reels, everybody. Now we gotta pay tribute to the master, so I'll give the 6.5
reels out of 7. I'll also do 6.5.
6.
Out of respect.
For Master Scorsese.
There's a dead dog in it.
Wait,
yeah.
When did the dog...
You went
to Oh, that's when I went to the bathroom. Yeah, I went to the bathroom and then I couldn't find a water fountain. I was like, wait, that's good because I shouldn't be.
Alright, that brings us to what we've watched this week. What have we watched this week?
I watched Reptile with Benicio del
Toro.
And,
does he do like a
Justin Timberlake?
Does he talk of it normally in this one?
Yeah,
is he connected to
Kinyokio?
No,
no,
I don't think there's any relation.
But it is weird because he's supposed to be just like some cop in the U.S. and he's a like partner, and he's like clearly just Benicio del Toro. It's like when Arnold Schwarzenegger was that small town sheriff.
Yeah, in the last. Oh my god. What a crazy fucking movie.
Are you joking?
Like, yeah, you tell me this guy's been here. Everybody talks
about him. I'm from this small town.
His English has. He's gotten a lot better. He's. He's lived here for so fucking long.
I know,
yeah, it's crazy.
Still,
the acting's
still
here.
It's so funny. Like,
he's still such a bad actor most of the time.
But I gotta tell you, that Reptile movie is as good as anything on Netflix.
Is it as good as Mindhunter?
I guess.
Oh, man.
Honestly, it's not. It's like bad David Fincher, bad Denis Villeneuve. It's not bad. It's just like
it's Netflix version of that.
Yeah,
exactly. I know what you're doing.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Terrible, but it's a good. You know.
Okay, I'll check that out. Michelle, what have we watched? We literally didn't watch a single movie.
We watched something.
Who Killed Joe Dando? That's not worth talking about.
Who Killed Joe Dando? Who did it? Oh, you know what else I watched?
What?
I watched the Maggie Moore's, that movie with John Hamm and Tina Fey.
I've been hearing about it.
It's not good.
Oh,
but
no.
It's, again, not bad. It's just like a...
Is it funny at least?
No.
It's a comedy.
Yeah, I know. It tries to be. Like, a lot of jokes, but... It's, again,
it doesn't
it's, like,
land.
Really, it's like Netflix. Honestly, Netflix is like Walmart. You just go there and like it's like... I guess this does the job, but it's not like something I'm proud of.
Like, I won't put this on Letterboxd. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of ashamed to actually list this at all.
Yeah.
The Vape Show.
We watched The Vape Show.
Yeah, so how was that? It's like 5.
We didn't even finish it. So these Netflix things are ridiculous.
So
the documentaries, they're just like, no, this is clearly a 90-minute story.
I know, it's crazy.
And they get like 50 talking heads who have barely any relevance. Well, the Jewel thing, I don't even listen to what a fucking teenager has to say about it all the time. I know how they got into it. Like, it's not a big story.
It's like pretty cool, the Jewel.
Yeah, no, literally, no, they just said that. They just say that. And then he shows the Instagram post, like, oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember one of the talking heads, she was like, felt like you were part of the secret club.
And you're like, oh, you're so
vape.
Dumb. Vape? You're so stupid. Anyways, like this show is interesting in showing like how people with like a good idea, you know, doesn't always turn out in the way you expect under capitalism. So, yeah.
I don't think it was a good idea. I think they just wanted to make smoking, like, Facebook.
I think they started... I think like even the creators and stuff are conflicted. Like, it shows that they're like, what are we even getting into this for? What is the actual goal? And it's good on the show for actually kind of, like, highlighting that.
I don't know, man. It sounds like the Robin Hood guys and... That dumb money.
Yeah.
You know, when they're like, actually, we're trying to help people quit smoking, and then they're getting richer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is good.
This is good. It's good. Right? And the idea that they're selling, they don't treat it as a nicotine product. It's like, well, why is this so effective? It's because it's nicotine, you dumb idiots. Like, you're kidding teenagers. Like, how come to... Anyways, it was interesting, I guess, and that's what we watched. Let's talk about recommendations. What will you recommend? Now, that's going to be a difficult one. It's hard to find a film that actually justly deals with such issues, with such... I have one. It's called The Nightingale. This is it's the director of The Babadook, Jennifer Kent.
One that you won't watch with me.
Yeah, because it's...
The Babadook?
It's,
no,
you know,
Nightingale.
The Nightingale. Oh. It's another movie that deals with...
Wait,
just
how do you recommend it? You didn't watch
it. I didn't
just
watch
it
with
you.
Oh,
That is very upfront with the brutality and the darkness during that period of time. The darkness. Like, ooh, so racist. Racist. Anyways, what are your recommendations?
Is it weird that I want to recommend Shutter Island? It makes no sense.
A very DiCaprio playing
DiCaprio.
A very pathetic character by the end.
Yeah, that's.
And he's so pathetic in this. Like, this is the most loser mode he's ever been in. And I don't think. And I honestly give props to him. I don't think any other big actor would take on the roles like this. Like, this is a very despicable.
Surprising for a man who won't date women over 25.
I don't think it's surprising. I think he just doesn't have an ego when it comes to what sort of the roles he picks.
My theory is that he's perpetually 25. Like, he's stuck.
Oh,
there.
I'm too old for him now.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's true. I'm sorry,
Michelle.
Although I didn't. It's hard to think he's the same guy in Titanic when you look at his face.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
just.
That's true.
He's expanded. It's
expanded and now it's shrinking again.
Yeah.
He's getting
He's getting a little bit puffier now.
Right.
But his eyes are still the same. Like, I love that. He's very... those piercing blue eyes. Anyway.
But it is interesting. He did, kind of do a good job picking, roles overall.
Yeah, and also the second movie next to The Revenant where he has, a Native American wife and speaks the language.
Oh,
I was thinking about that a lot while watching. I was like, oh, he did it again.
He might be in PTA's new movie. Yeah.
Oh.
That's what the Reddit guys
That's
are
the
saying.
Reddit guys say. Perfect. He'd be real. I can't wait to see what kind of character PT is going to write for this guy. Maybe he writes an even more pathetic character. That'll be amazing.
I think he's one of the probably who's the other movie star?
Tom Cruise.
No, Tom Cruise sucks.
Yeah. He just does these mission movies now. They suck. He can't. Doesn't even. He's not even
remember,
acting.
Remember, Live, Die, Repeat. That was great.
Yeah.
Do that again. Do something that.
Mm-hmm.
It's original sci-fi stuff.
Yeah,
cool.
But we can't. That doesn't exist anymore. And DiCaprio's never going to do a role action. He's never going to do an action movie again.
Yeah,
like, maybe The Revenant is as close as it
was.
He picks pretty political roles now.
Yeah, Don't Look Up is. I think he joined that because it has that.
Even The
Revenant,
you can argue.
What?
Yeah, explicitly talk about that.
Yeah. It's more it's also the way they treated it, I guess, erasure of Native American identity.
That's how I thought of it.
But yeah, he's cool. He's good.
I'm happy and proud of him. He's the last movie star.
Yeah, who else? Yeah, you're thinking who? I can't think of another actor that does roles
like that. Yeah.
That are this uncompromising in portrait being
who's the guy in Phantom Thread?
No, he doesn't do.
He's not a huge. Name.
Yeah, he's and he
Phantom
doesn't. Taylor. People watch this movie because of Leo.
Yeah.
And boy, are they in for a not a very likable Leo.
That's
fascinating to me. I want to see what the reaction to, because so pathetic.
Still, Brad Pitt is doing cool stuff.
Bullet Train.
That
Sandra Bullock movie.
No, he was barely in that.
Oh,
but he was in Babylon.
That was good. He was good. He was good in that.
He was
good in that.
Great in that. Love Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck was in...
Kind of.
He's kind of
like that.
I like Ben Affleck as a director a lot, actually.
Mm. I really...
Matt Damon.
Brad Pitt was in...
Matt
Damon is...
Actually, yes. I think about Matt Damon's performance in The Departed. As a guy who's...
And then Oppenheimer.
And then Oppenheimer,
At the last Brad Pitt movies. Ad Astra.
Good.
Bullet Train. But Babylon. Ad Astra and Babylon...
That's James Gray.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Allied.
Robert Zemeckis. You told me you liked parts of that.
Yeah.
You told me you really liked. Well, Michelle, what's your recommendation? Let's bring that up first.
I don't know whether to say the piano or not. I don't think it delves it because that's like native New Zealand culture.
What's your recommendation? What do you want to change it to?
Reservation Dogs.
Oh, that show?
That show.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
It's about natives.
Have you seen it?
No, but I hear it's about natives.
Oh, God. You can't recommend it if you haven't seen it.
I don't care. Mark Maron's in it. So.
Oh, cool. Mark Maron's in that? Okay. Yeah. I know Ethan Hawke shows up briefly in the cameo in that. That's about it.
Really?
Yeah.
The work of Johnny Depp. He's native.
Who is native? Yeah, they got him to play like...
Yeah.
What?
I think he's part native, yeah.
Sure?
Yeah.
Is that why they got him in the Long Ranger? Lone Ranger? Is that...
Yeah.
I don't act.
Is that why he didn't get canceled? He's
I
a native?
He might be like maybe Mexican.
No.
Oh, I love in the movie where they go like, she's full-blooded. So disgusting.
I didn't like...
He didn't even catch on at first what they were talking about. That's why it's the naivete of the
but
character.
What was the... Like, if they would and they have, like, more money, is that the implication?
Yes, head rights. So they are full Osage, like,
okay.
Tribe members, so they have, like, full claim to the land and whatever, the oil fields or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Head rights, yeah. So that's what they were after.
So what are we watching next week?
Well, we're going to go back to watching After Sun. I'm going to make you guys watch this, because I need to watch this. And, we'll see you after. I just did the same fucking joke again. God damn it. We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I guess he's not.
Say goodbye.
Yeah, bye. I'm just trying to figure out what Johnny Depp is.
The 7th Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf El-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya El-Bashir. Thanks for listening.